Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be back with you once again today. I want to start this morning just by saying for just a couple of moments, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to go and to be with family. I know that Dana and her family appreciate so much the expressions of love and so forth that we expressed as a result of the passing of her grandmother and so on. And she was a nice lady. She was very sweet and kind. And one of her grandchildren, one of the things when we asked, what would you like, said at the funeral, just said, well, Grandma Bowers, every time you walked in the door, was smiling. And so that was a wonderful thing. She loved to see her grandchildren come, and she loved to see her children and all those that would come and just visit her and so forth. And so it was a wonderful opportunity for us to be there. It was wonderful for us to be there for my mother's surgery as well. We feared, to be quite honest, we feared another funeral, to be honest. If things had gone another way and we had not been there, my mother, after she had fallen, she had lost all of her oxygen, and she probably would have passed. And I'm very thankful we had that opportunity to be there. She is very thankful. And so if you've sent a card, if you sent an email, and I've relayed that message by your email, or something of that nature, we appreciate that very much. Appreciate your love and your care and your concern. I'm afraid sometimes in our day and age, which we have let slip away, maybe the communication of care and love that we have for one another, and maybe that we should have for one another. And although I thought of saying these things this morning, they didn't lead me to my lesson this morning. But I thought, you know, it's good for us to consider some things about love, to consider some things about what it is to love each other. And I really thought of this because we spoke the last time I was here about the fellowship that we have with God. And in 1 John, the first chapter, we dealt with some of what John speaks of there, 1 John chapter 1, and made our way into chapter 2 through verse 6 of that chapter. But I thought, you know, I just can't leave that hanging. I can't leave that where it was. Because not only does John talk about, especially about our fellowship with Jesus Christ and our fellowship with God, but he goes on to talk about the importance of our fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Our fellowship, and not only our love for God, but our love for those that are around us. And so I'd like for us to look at that this morning. In 1 John chapter 2 there, and in verse 7, he says, "Behold, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. As at the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." I'd like for us to look at and think about this morning what John describes as the new old commandment, or the old new commandment, however you'd like to put that. Because he says here, as he describes this in this text, he describes it as that which is so illustrated and illustrates it in such a way that really, in some ways it's a warning, in some ways he illustrates it as a promise. And I want us to focus on and to notice what John talks about here, and to realize that the overall point of the passage here is really that we should keep the commandment of love, and that we should, in doing so, that we affirm and confirm our standing in Jesus Christ. And certainly we know that from some of the very things that Jesus has told us himself. And we should stand, certainly, and realize that we need to stand before God in recognition of his love for us and our love that we need to have for those around us. And so he speaks of this no new commandment, but an old commandment. What's John talking about there? I'd like, first, before we end this morning, really to answer four questions. That is, what is the commandment that's referred to here? What's the commandment that he's referring to, although we've all somewhat indicated that? What's he talking about in these verses? And in what sense is it old? In what sense is it an old commandment? In what sense is it a new commandment? And why does John go out of his way to stress it? Why does he go out of his way to emphasize and put the importance here that he puts here on it as he talks about these things? And I hope that in doing that, that we can learn some things from 1 John chapter 2 here in verses 7 through 11 and to illustrate those things. Well, what is the commandment that's referred to in both of these verses? In verse 7, he says, "Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment." It almost sounds like double talk, doesn't it? Almost sounds like, well, John, do you know what you're talking about or don't you? Is it the new commandment or is it an old commandment? Which is it? And it almost can sound confusing, but understand that even as he says in verse 8, "I'm writing to you a new commandment," the question is, what's the commandment? What do we need to know? What do we need to understand? The fact is that John begins to talk about love and hate in these verses. He goes in verses 7 and 8 and talks about this new commandment, and I think he's talking about love because he's talking about the types of things that Jesus talked about even back in John chapter 13 and in verse 34 when he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And so John has written the words of Jesus himself before, where Jesus talks about the love the disciples are to have for one another, brothers are to have for one another, as a new commandment. And it's unmistakable, I think, really in the evidence in this case, because as you look on in the context of 1 John here, you notice in chapter 2, or chapter 2, and or chapter 2 John rather, in verse 1, in verse 5, he says, "And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one we had from the beginning, that we love one another." And so John uses his words there again, and he uses the very phrase that we're talking about this morning, that they love one another. And what has it been, where have they learned that from? He says, "You've learned it from the beginning." From the beginning to what? Or from the beginning to where? I think it's from the beginning, the very beginning of the gospel, from the very beginning of the message of them becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's unmistakable in this case to realize that John is talking about this commandment, that you love one another. And so it's this commandment that he describes as being a new commandment and an old commandment. But what sense then is it an old commandment? In what sense is it old? We've talked about in what sense is it, in some ways, in what sense is it new? But we'll get to what it's old here in a moment. Well, how is it new? I'd suggest, first of all, that it's new in its emphasis. Think about how Jesus, when he described and when he taught what this new commandment was, what was he describing about the emphasis of what this commandment is to be? It's a commandment that is to emphasize the love for a neighbor, even if it's one that you didn't consider a neighbor. It's emphasis because it is that which gives such encouragement to love one who is those that are around them, that the Jews would have looked at and said, "That's not my neighbor. Why, they're not a person that I would associate with. They're not a person that I would have dealings with. They're some sort of outsider. They're someone who is a Samaritan. Why, that wouldn't be one that I would have dealings with." And so there is a great emphasis that's given here. There's an estimation in who is my neighbor. Isn't that the question that's asked of Jesus when he's asked the question, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus begins to describe and talks about, well, there is one who's going and traveling, and he talks about, and we've heard that story many times, about the one who defines one who is a Samaritan and takes one in and cares for him after he's been beaten and robbed and so forth, and does things for him, and leaving even money to be changed for the one to be taken care of after he leaves. And so it's an estimation of broadening of the newer idea of what a neighbor is or who a neighbor is, and the extent of how far that goes. The extent of our neighbor, even to the point that, what does Jesus say? Who do we need to love? Oh yeah, you need to love your brother. Oh yeah, you need to love one. Oh, okay, we need to understand that it doesn't matter. It's not a matter of race or creed or color or skin or anything of that nature. But it's to the extent that Jesus says, love your enemy. Well, now there's a different thing. There's something that's new. There's something that surely, in all of that, illustrates that in these things, that what John is describing here is the very things that Jesus is describing when he says, I'm writing you no new commandments, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. Well, we've got to ask the question, of course, how's it old? How is it that old commandment? And what is it that we'll come to that in a moment. What is that application or what is that old commandment that we're talking about? Well, look at verse 7 as he just illustrates that and emphasizes that. The commandment, I think, is old in a couple of ways. It's old in a couple of senses. First of all, it's old from the standpoint, you say, well, it sounds like the things that Moses was told those people under the old law. It sounds like passages like Leviticus 19 and verse 18, where it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 18, Jesus identified those things as being important. He identified this as the second greatest commandment, he said, after the command to love God. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40 there. And so, in this sense, it's a command that has been given with God's people and been given to God's people for some 1,400 years up to the time of Jesus. It's a commandment that has always been something that God intended. And so John says that the commandment of love is old in the sense you have heard it from the beginning. I think they've heard it not only from the beginning, the message of the gospel. I think we can go back further than that is if you want to talk about God. And how does God want his people to deal with each other? He wants love involved in that dealing. He wants his love to be involved in that relationship with those. And so in the beginning, you see that they have seen that, oh, if they've been a Jew previously, and if they've not, if they've just become a Christian from the very beginning of their life as Christians. There were those who came along in the first century that would say, they didn't understand and they couldn't believe, and quotes that have been given of those who looked at Christians and said, wow, what love. I don't understand it. I don't understand what that love is or where that love comes from. But the main sense in which the commandment is old, I think, is in the sense that the believers have heard it from the very earliest days, as we've said already, of becoming a Christian. That is, as they describe those things. And if you look in 1 John chapter 2 there, if you notice in verse 7, he says, Beloved, I am writing to you that which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is that word which they have heard from the very beginning of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the very beginning of those things. And John means for this to be encouraging. He means for this to be not another command, just simply to pile on top of another, but just simply for them to be encouraged by the fact that they need to be loving and caring for those that were brothers and sisters in Christ, and then not just simply to load another duty on them in some way or another. But I think in what part of what John says here, he says, back to verse chapter 1, if you back up chapter 1 and in verse 3, he says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Well, what did John see? What did he hear? He had seen the very things of Jesus. He had seen the very things that Jesus had said. And in verse 5 of chapter 1, he says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. In other words, the commandment that the believers must love one another is part of that gospel message. It's part of that original message, and certainly that old commandment is the word which they had heard for those for so long if they had been Jews who had served God. But in what sense are we talking about this commandment not only of being old but also of being new? And verse 8 stresses that the commandment of love is new. He says, I'm writing to you a new commandment which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Light have to do with these things? What is it the light, as John describes these things, have to do? Well, I think it's a new commandment in the sense of application of these things. I got my slide out of order. I'm sorry. But it is new in the sense that it has an emphasis to it. It's new in its emphasis that Jesus brought together the command and love of God and the summation of the entire law. It brought together the estimation of his own self-sacrifice on the cross, and it brought together the extent by which the parable, even of the Good Samaritan, could be illustrated, in which we talked about those things. But why does John stress these things? I think he stresses it from the standpoint and to the point to distinguish that his teaching, the teaching of Jesus Christ, is a new teaching that is different than what some were teaching in John's day. John goes on to talk about, no doubt, and talks about even later on in later writings in 2 John, in talking about some who have become false prophets and those who have become those dissatisfied with John's old message. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't ever get to the point that you look at the command of God and you say, oh, that's just an old commandment. Oh, I'm tired of hearing those old commands again. I'm tired of hearing those old things over and over again. John said, it may be old, but it's new. It may be old, but it is new in Jesus Christ. It is that which we need to hear and see the emphasis in. He stressed the newness of this commandment of love that was the same as that old new commandment in the Old Testament, which they had from the beginning and which was part of that presentation of the gospel. And the reason is John goes on to stress the newness of that and the importance of it, because the fact is they needed to see it. They need to understand it and to see not only how it was old, but how it was new. And how it was new in Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm writing to you a new commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. We said a moment ago, what's light have to do with this? Well, I think what light has to do with, just like darkness is not separated from the hatred that he goes on to talk about in verses 10 and 11, it's that which is the same here. It's illustrated that the light that is described here is the light that surely is in Jesus Christ. It's the light that is in Christ. And who does Jesus tell those to be lights? He tells those that he tells to love others. And he says, you are the light of the world. He tells those that you're to be the light in the kingdom and the light that which is already shining, he says. And it's that light that we need to learn how to shine. We need to learn how to shine because that will help others to see. That will help others to see and to sense and to understand and to know who is it that we're for. Who is it? What are we doing? What are we living our lives about? And the importance of all of this is that we need to learn how to apply it. And I think really that's the most important part. Here we go. The application of it is that we need to understand that the application of these things, when John says that, yes, it's something you've heard all along, it's something that maybe you think of this lesson, you say, oh, we've heard that all along. We need to love brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to love everybody around us. We need to love our neighbors. We even need to love our enemies. Oh, I've always heard that. But have we applied it? Have we done something with it? Have we taken it and used it in practical ways in our life? Because it'll begin with how you think. It'll begin with how you think about people. It'll begin with how you look at people when you see them day by day. How do you see people? How do you apply this and think about the fact that others, when you look and you see them, they need to think about not just simply yourself, not just simply your feelings, not just simply what kind of the problems and the list of cares and the concerns that I have, but what kind of problems do they have? What kind of concerns and cares do they have? What kind of needs do they have? And to learn to think about others first. I'll tell you, it takes some things, and it will take an incident, even like going to the hospital sometimes. A lot of times people, they say, well, I don't like to go to the hospital because I've had some hospital visits, or I've seen some hospital workers that just haven't been very kind, haven't been very caring. But I'll tell you what, when you see the complete distinction of that and the opposite of that in events like with my mother, you see workers that care and that love and that are concerned about. They've been trained to pay attention to the needs of the patient. They've been trained to pay attention to not what they need, and you don't hear them off in the side complaining about what they've got to do and who it is. And when you go to the desk and you ask a question, they don't say, oh, well, wait a minute, that's their patient. I wonder sometimes, do we do that? As Christians, we turn, we say, oh, that somebody else ought to deal with that. Somebody else ought to take care of them. Well, you know, I've taken care of people before myself, so it's somebody else's turn. Let somebody else do it. What? You don't like that when you go to the hospital. You don't care for that when you go to the doctor and they don't pay any attention to what you need. And maybe it's just something very simple. Maybe you need a glass of water. Maybe you need a cup of ice. And somebody says, well, wait a minute, that's somebody else's patient. I wonder, what do we do with other people around us? Do we think, well, that's just too simple a need? Maybe sometimes we think that's just too simple a thing. I'm bigger than that. I've got bigger things to do. I've got greater things that I could be doing in the kingdom. I've got greater things I could be doing for people. And that's a little below me to be able to do that and to take care of that need. Whether it is to clean or whether it is to cook or whether it is to take food or whether it is to do things for people. What do we think about things like that? How do we think about people? How do we think about their needs? You know, their needs to them are just as big and just as pressing and just as overwhelming at times as my needs are to me. And I don't see that when I'm not paying attention. I don't see that when I don't want to see that is when I don't see it. I don't see it when I don't want to pay any attention to what is it that they may be concerned about. Because I want to tell everybody what I've got to be concerned about. I want to tell everyone that I'm thinking of myself rather than thinking of others. I'm thinking of myself and I'm not thinking about it. And we could read Paul's description of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, no doubt. And we certainly, though, need to understand that loving the person starts with the how you think. And it extends to how you talk. It extends to how you talk about people. It extends to what you say about people. And when people get to talking about this one or that one, what do you have to say about them? You say, oh, yeah, I know. Let me tell you about it. I know. Here, let me give you a story about so-and-so. And I'll tell you what, brothers, sisters, I've heard too many times, too many brethren standing around chiming in because they've got another story to tell about brother, sister, so-and-so. Well, brother and sister so-and-so are not perfect. Brother and sister so-and-so don't do all the right things all at the right times. A brother and sister so-and-so don't always make the right decisions and all the right choices at the right times. But you know what? I believe Scripture tells us, Jesus tells us, I'm going to have to love them anyway. I'm going to have to learn how to love people. John says, it's an old commandment. You've heard it for a long time. But it's a new one. You better broaden the extent and realize how important it is. You better broaden and realize the importance and it extends to how we think and extends to how we think and how we speak and extends and changes our behavior. If we'll truly do those very things and we'll truly serve others and we'll become those who are not tearing down with our abusive speech and not coming along and thinking in wrong ways, but certainly with our behavior have learned to be practicing those things of love, have learned to do things like Paul talks about in Romans, the 12th chapter. Look there with me for just a moment. In Romans chapter 12, and in verses 9 through 13 there, Paul describes here and says these very things. He says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of saints. And seek to show hospitality. Are we doing those kind of things? I'll tell you what, it's wonderful when it's done for you. But it always makes me stop and when I find it and I see it, stop and take a check and say, what do I need to be doing? What I need to be doing for others. And so as John writes to these brethren, he's written to them and talking to them about how that they need to walk in the light and that their fellowship with Christ and their walking needs to be that which is real, needs to be that which is understood to be that which is exactly according to truth. because they can't say, oh yes, I'm with Jesus Christ and I'm walking in light, when they're not. He says, you've got to do the right thing. And in verse 9, he says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. You can lie to yourself all day long. I can lie to myself and say, oh yes, I love brother so-and-so, but I wouldn't do a thing for him. I wouldn't say a good thing about him. I wouldn't change the way I think about them in any way. Well, you know, they just deserve whatever they've gotten in their life. We hate our brother, we're still in darkness. He says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. There's no reason for us to be stumbling around in the dark and in the darkness of hatred when we have truly loved our brother. And whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John says, beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. And at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Let me ask us, brethren, is the darkness passed away out of our lives? Is the darkness passed away out of our hearts and out of our lives and the things that we live, the way that we live? And do we love brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we love those who are our neighbors and those that are around us, that even the world would say, oh, you don't have to love them, or oh, you, it's not that important to love them, or oh, you've got a good excuse or a good reason not to love them? And would you even love them like Jesus speaks of? But he says, love your enemies. If you're here this morning, we want to ask you, invite you to respond to the gospel call of Jesus Christ. The gospel call of Jesus Christ is very simple. When he says in Mark 16 and verse 16, he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who disbelieves shall be condemned. Sometimes that's an old commandment for some people. That's too simple. That's too old. Don't just say it that way. Don't just say it that simple. Well, Jesus said it that simply. All I can say to you is you've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you respond to that faith and that gospel call of salvation, you respond to the grace of God. You respond by being coming and being baptized into him for the remission of your sins, so that you can live for him and serve him every day of your life. If you need to come back, need to make something right, whatever need you might have, we can serve you, assist you in some way. We invite you to come this morning, right now, while we stand and while we sing.